Welcome to Agent Driven Development. Today, exploring developer happiness in the AI SDLC 5 things to know. 1. AI success needs governed infrastructure, not just favorite tools. 2. The new bottleneck is human AI collaboration, not individual tools. 3. Centralized management is crucial for AI governance, security, and cost. 4. Ungoverned AI tools create major security and compliance risks. 5. Successful AI requires controlled tools and clear organizational rules. Now, the developer happiness movement of the 2000s and 10s was one of the most successful organizational transformations in software history. It also might be one of the most misunderstood because it was never actually about happiness to understand what we were really solving. You have to look back at 2008. In 2008, enterprise software organizations had a problem they could not see. They were optimizing for procurement relationships and audit compliance while systematically destroying productivity. Developers filled out 12 field forms to create a ticket. Architecture review boards mandated technologies that had not been relevant in 5 years. Change processes introduced 3-week delays for configuration changes that took 5 minutes to implement. The cost was invisible because nobody measured feature delivery velocity. They measured process compliance, whether the right forms were filled out, whether the architecture review board approved the technology choice, whether changes went through the change advisory board. Then the data arrived. Etsy was deploying 25 times per day with 75 engineers. Spotify scaled to 600 engineers with autonomous squads, while competitors with similar headcount could barely coordinate releases. The State of DevOps reports showed deployment frequency correlated with stability, not inversely as everyone assumed. The pattern was clear. Organizations giving developers control over their tools were shipping 3 to 5 times faster and losing far fewer people to attrition. The prescription seemed obvious. Give developers autonomy. Let them choose their integrated development environment, their language, and their frameworks. Hire smart people and get out of their way. Trust them to make good decisions. Measure outcomes, not compliance. It worked. It worked spectacularly. And we called it developer happiness because that was the marketing-friendly way to describe what we were actually doing. We were removing organizational friction that prevented developers from being effective. Here's the constraint that made it work. People forget that developer autonomy worked because human cognitive load was the constraint. A senior engineer who had spent 6 years mastering Vim was not just comfortable with it. She was genuinely 40% more productive than if you forced her into Eclipse. That expertise was real. Tool mastery mattered when humans were writing code because learning curves were steep, muscle memory was productivity, and context switching killed flow state. The efficiency gains were not theoretical, they were measurable. A developer fluent in their tool chain could maintain flow state for hours, force them into unfamiliar tools, and that flow shattered. They would spend cognitive cycles on the tool instead of the problem. So we optimized for the constraint. We let developers choose tools that minimize their cognitive load. We removed organizational friction. We measured whether features shipped, not whether everyone used the same integrated development environment. By 2020, this was not just best practice. It was culture. It was identity. It was how you attracted talent. The language of developer autonomy became so powerful that questioning it felt like arguing for command and control management. Then came the shift that nobody saw coming. In 2024, generative artificial intelligence became production capable, not perfect, but real. Code that actually shipped most organizations saw this as a productivity tool. Another thing to make developers more effective, they applied the playbook that had worked for a decade. Let teams experiment, let developers choose what works for them, and do not stifle innovation with premature standardization. It made sense, the language was right, the precedent was clear. Developer autonomy had worked before. Why would it not work now? What everyone missed, and what I missed initially, was that the constraint had fundamentally changed. A generative artificial intelligence agent does not have muscle memory. It does not need 6 months to ramp up on your code base. It does not experience cognitive load when switching between frameworks. It does not care if it is writing TypeScript or Python. It does not have tool preferences. Your humans do. But they are not writing code the same way anymore. They are orchestrating code writing agents. They are reviewing artificial intelligence generated implementations. They are steering architecture while artificial intelligence handles implementation details. That is a different skill with different friction points. The constraint is not how we minimize friction for human code generation anymore. The constraint is how we enable effective human and artificial intelligence collaboration at organizational scale. Those are not the same thing. And the solution that worked brilliantly for the first problem creates catastrophic failure modes in the second. This brings us to the category error. Here's the reframe that clarifies everything. Artificial intelligence in the software development lifecycle is not a personal productivity tool, it is infrastructure. You know this intuitively? For other technologies, nobody lets teams choose their own cloud provider based on personal preference. Not because you do not trust your engineers, because cloud is infrastructure. It needs centralized governance, vendor management, security review, cost optimization, and expertise development. When something is infrastructure, you do not optimize for individual preference, you optimize for organizational capability you can govern, secure, and evolve. But you do let developers choose their integrated development environment. Because an integrated development environment is not infrastructure, it is a personal tool. It affects individual productivity but does not create organizational dependencies or introduce systemic risk. The question everyone is avoiding is which category artificial intelligence belongs to. In early 2024, you could argue it was a personal tool, experimental, individual productivity enhancement. But watch what happened over 12 months. Teams started building workflows that assume artificial intelligence generation. They started architecting systems around artificial intelligence capabilities. They are training junior developers who have never written code without artificial intelligence assistance. They are creating dependencies on specific platforms and their application programming interfaces. That is not a personal tool, that is infrastructure. And we are treating it like a text editor. We can see the pattern playing out right now. Walk into most Fortune 500 engineering organizations and you will find 6 to 8 generative artificial intelligence vendors being used across teams. Some were approved through procurement, others were expensed on corporate cards. Nobody is tracking it centrally because teams own their tooling decisions. If you're in this situation, I can tell you exactly what happens next. You're 6 to 9 months away from your security chief shutting it down. Maybe 12 if your security team is understaffed or distracted. The pattern is predictable because I have watched it repeat. Teams expense artificial intelligence tools individually. Engineering managers know, but they are focused on productivity, not governance. Security does not know because nobody told them. The tools are not in your asset inventory. They are not in your vendor risk management system. They are just there, quietly sending your source code to application programming interfaces you do not control. Then something triggers discovery, an audit. Cyber insurance renewal, a breach at one of the vendors makes the news. Or your security chief just starts asking questions because they read something that made them nervous. Security does discovery through credit card statements, network traffic analysis, and team surveys. The list comes back, 8 vendors, maybe 12. Your security chief asks the obvious question, who did the security review on these? Nobody did because nobody thought they needed to. It was a productivity tool like a better text editor, except these tools have access to your repositories through their application programming interfaces. They are processing your proprietary algorithms. They are seeing customer data in test fixtures. They are ingesting code that contains your business logic, your competitive advantages, and your security vulnerabilities. The questions start coming. Where is this data being stored? What is the data residency? Is it being used for model training? What happens when an employee leaves? Can they still access our code through their conversation history with the artificial intelligence? What is our liability if this vendor gets breached? Can we detect if they get breached? Do our audit logs show what code was sent where? For most of these vendors, you do not have answers because the terms of service were never reviewed by legal because nobody ran them through vendor risk management because nobody thought to ask. Your security chief does what security chiefs do when they discover ungoverned risk. They shut it down not because they are anti-innovation, because they cannot walk into the next board meeting and explain why your company intellectual property is being sent to vendors you cannot audit under terms you have not reviewed with data protection controls you cannot verify. The directive is simple. All artificial intelligence tool usage stops until we have proper governance, security reviews for each vendor, legal review of terms, data protection assessments, integration with audit logging, the full vendor risk management process, which takes 90 days if you're fast, 6 months if you're typical. Meanwhile, the teams that built their workflows around these tools are dead in the water. The productivity gains vanish overnight. Not because the technology failed, because you treated infrastructure like a personal tool. I have seen this happen to 4 Fortune 500 companies in the last 18 months. Different industries, different maturity levels, and different engineering cultures. Same pattern, same timeline. The only variable is what triggers the discovery. This is where the conversation needs to evolve, specifically around what happiness actually means now. The 2015 framing of developer happiness does not map to the current reality. The 2015 version was to remove organizational friction that prevents developers from being effective. Let them choose tools. Trust them to optimize their own productivity. That made sense when tools were personal and the constraint was human cognitive load. But you do not hear developers saying, I would be happier if I could deploy some services to Amazon Web Services and others to Azure based on my personal preference. Nobody frames cloud provider choice as a happiness issue. Why? Because everyone understands intuitively that infrastructure is different. Personal preference does not apply. What matters is whether this infrastructure enables me to build what I need to build. Is the organization using it competently? Am I working within reasonable constraints? That is the reframe for artificial intelligence, not whether I can choose my favorite artificial intelligence tool, but whether our artificial intelligence infrastructure enables me to be effective. The developers who left companies in 2015 over tooling were not leaving because they could not use Vim. They were leaving because organizational dysfunction made it impossible to ship software. The tool choice was a symptom, not the cause. Similarly, good developers do not leave over which cloud provider you use. They leave when the infrastructure is poorly managed, when governance creates pointless friction, or when leadership makes decisions without understanding the technical reality. The same logic applies to artificial intelligence infrastructure. The developers who thrive are not the ones with unlimited tool choice. They are the ones working in organizations that picked infrastructure they can actually govern. They invested in making people effective with it. They created real autonomy within clear constraints, and they built space for people to challenge those constraints when they are not working. Let us look at the path forward and why it is harder than you think. If you're reading this and you have ungoverned artificial intelligence sprawl, you're facing a political problem as much as a technical one. You probably made a decision in 2024 to let teams experiment. That decision has your name on it. You defended it as preserving developer autonomy. Your vice president presented it to the executive team. Teams have built workflows around these tools. Now you need to consolidate, and it feels like admitting you were wrong. Here's what I have learned from organizations that navigated this successfully. You can pivot if you're honest about what changed. The narrative is not that we made a mistake. It is that we treated artificial intelligence as a personal productivity tool. We have learned it is infrastructure. The category changed, so our approach needs to change. That is not failure. That is recognizing when your mental model needs updating. Start with a pilot, pick one team, give them a different approach, and measure it honestly. If it works, you have proof. If it does not, you learn something without committing the whole organization. Give teams time to transition. 6 months to migrate to approved platforms. Make the path gradual enough that people can adapt without whiplash, and critically make space for dissent. Let people disagree publicly. Some will argue that standardization kills innovation and that you're reverting to the bad old days of 2008. Let them make their case in front of the team. Not because you're going to change your mind, but because shutting down dissent kills the organizational learning capability you're trying to build. To find the right path, you have to understand what you're actually optimizing for. The goal was never happiness. The goal was removing friction that prevented effective work. In 2015, that friction was organizational dysfunction optimized for procurement and compliance instead of shipping software. Tool autonomy was the answer because the constraint was human cognitive load. In 2025, the friction is different. It is trying to govern ungovernable sprawl. It is teams fragmenting across incompatible platforms. It is your security chief being unable to answer basic questions about data protection. It is senior engineers spending cycles evaluating vendors instead of eliminating waste. The answer is not reverting to command and control management. It is recognizing that artificial intelligence is infrastructure and treating it accordingly. That means you must be clear about constraints, telling the team that we need to govern. This is legitimate. Explaining that legal requires audit trails is legitimate. Admitting the security chief cannot approve 8 vendors is legitimate. Give people the actual constraints, not just the solution. Give real authority within those constraints. If you're creating an approved vendor list, let teams choose from it. If production needs standard platforms, let prototyping stay flexible. Do not standardize everything just because you're standardizing something. Create space to challenge the constraints. Your developers should be able to say, this constraint is not serving us, and be taken seriously. If someone proposes a governance framework that enables more flexibility, listen, treat constraints as problems to solve, not walls to accept and invest in the transition. Do not just mandate a change and expect people to figure it out. Training, documentation, communities of practice, and dedicated support are essential. The organizations that skimp on this fail regardless of which approach they choose. This is the real test. The developer autonomy movement was not wrong. It solved a real problem. It produced measurable results. The instinct to preserve those gains is correct. But success patterns from one era become failure patterns in the next, when the fundamental constraint changes. The organizations that win will not be the ones that pick perfectly in 2024. They will be the ones that can adjust in 2025 when they have better information. That requires treating organizational learning as a capability, not course corrections as failures. The question is not whether artificial intelligence should be standardized. it is whether you can recognize when something stops being a personal tool and becomes infrastructure, then make that transition without losing the spirit of trust and autonomy that made developer effectiveness work in the first place. Because that spirit still matters, we still want to remove friction. We still want to trust people to make good decisions. We still want to measure outcomes, not process compliance. What changed is what the friction looks like, what decisions actually matter, and what outcomes we need to measure. Same goal, different constraint, and the intellectual honesty to recognize when your playbook needs updating. That is the work. Not finding the perfect answer, but building an organization that can learn fast enough to keep up with how quickly the constraints are changing. Right now, that means recognizing artificial intelligence is infrastructure. Everything else follows from that. Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.